Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubernick.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today, we are in Morden, Manitoba, and we have with us Jason Dick. He is the Economic Development Officer for the City of Morden. Welcome, Jason, or Jay, we'll call you.
Hi, Leah. Pleasure to be here.
We always like to get a little bit of a background. So how did you end up in Morden? Did you grow up in rural Manitoba, or what is your, can you give us a little bit of a your story of how you ended up where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did grow up here. Graduated from high school here. I grew up on a farm just south of town, small little acreage, and that loved high school, loved the community right from the start. But to get an education, we had to move away. We don't have a university locally here. So spent 5 years in Winnipeg getting myself educated and had a great career there in Winnipeg. Traveled the world, did research, did my master's degree. And so there's a lot of thesis research we're doing abroad in India and South America. And got some great gigs in Winnipeg, following up on that work on the economic development front. I got married, I had a couple of kids, and as much as I loved Winnipeg, the opportunity to practice my skill sets in my hometown was too much to turn up. So when the economic development job for the city came up, I was thrilled to be the successful candidate, because with at the time I had a three-year-old and one on the way, and the prospect of living in as safe and peaceful and enjoyable community as Morden and to raise my kids there was a real awesome opportunity. So my wife, who isn't from here, didn't think twice. She's been out plenty visiting grandparents and stuff, and really thought that this would be the best opportunity for our kids to have a safe and peaceful childhood.
I think you can't underrate that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I grew up in rural outside of Portage la Prairie, but same thing. We moved to a small town. You know, I love the fact that my kids can bike to school. They can walk around town and I'm not worried. I mean, we don't even have traffic lights in our town. So yeah, I totally agree with you on that part.
Yeah, exactly. And the people always consider it a trade-off, or it's like, oh yeah, you can go out to live in the middle of nowhere. And of course it's going to be safe. But in a place like Morden, you know, you really do have all the amenities of the big city right close by. There's a few things that you can't get within our shopping districts. And there's a cluster of communities that live pretty close together here within about 20 minutes, half an hour. And so what one community doesn't have, the other typically does. We complement each other pretty nice. So we haven't felt disconnected at all from our urban living previously. I'll always love Winnipeg, but we're pretty happy with our choice to return to rural.
And you're only, sorry, one more question. You're only 1 hour from Winnipeg, correct? Like, it's not really even that far.
No, that's right. Yeah. If you got to go to the airport or something like that, or Christmas shopping, sometimes you like to go to the big toy stores. But for the events that do happen, an hour is a pretty short drive. I remember when I was in Winnipeg, I had a 45-minute commute to my work downtown by the time I would actually get in my car to land in my office. And so that travel time, it may seem like the distance makes a big difference, but you compare it to some of the urban commutes and, you know, the people that we work with on a daily basis that are coming from some of the international cities, larger cities around the world, Delhi or Tehran or Rio de Janeiro or something like that. And it's 2 hours that you're in traffic. Yeah. And so my commute used to be 3 minutes to my office. And then we just moved to a small acreage, me and my family. And so now it's a 7-minute drive. That's just fine with me.
So let's talk a little bit more about your community in depth. And actually what sprung to mind when you were talking about your community was education. And so your secondary high school is pretty good. I've been there. And so can you talk a little bit about the educational part of, you know, Morden and what it has to offer, like K-12? I think that's really neat to highlight for the community of Morden.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll even go a little bit earlier on that with the daycare, because Morden's been pretty advanced with daycare supportive services. We just added 178 new spaces in the last 2 years. So that's a, I think it might be a record in rural Manitoba for number of new spaces added in a 2 year period. And so that's something that we recognize as an important start to the educational process, especially for working families. And so there is a bunch of additional daycare spaces here. It's still a challenge getting a spot, but we have a great service provider and a bunch of new facilities. So, but we also opened a brand new primary middle school at Cole Discovery Trails. So it's a French immersion focused school that also has some English classes as well. And they're already filling up pretty fast. I think, what was that going to be, an additional 500 or 600 school capacity or student capacity there. But a beautiful new facility. We got a rubberized running track that's competition ready. That's a first in southern Manitoba. But we're in the plans for a new high school because the community's been growing pretty strong over the last 15, 20 years. And that growth has shown itself in the school, which continues to expand and add new programs and the rest of that. It's one of the it's a well-equipped educational system around here with Western School Division. They partner in a pretty unique partnership with a number of other school divisions locally in central South Manitoba here to create the what's called the Red River Technical Vocational Area. And it's one of the best vocational training programs offered anywhere in Manitoba, even Western Canada, I'd be willing to argue, allow kids in high school to get apprenticeship training hours even while they're attending high school. So you could do carpentry or electrical or automotive training. And then the each town around here has a focus and a specialty. We have welding and pipe fitting here. And they have electrical and automotive next door. And there's also esthetician, healthcare aid. You know, the list is quite a long one, but we have programs such that folks can get into advanced even college credits and apprenticeship levels upon graduation. So that's a pretty unique feature of our educational system that other parts of Manitoba or Canada might not have. And so we're quite proud of that. It's helped fill the demand for trades, which is growing year by year. Then beyond that, we do have some post-secondary options as well. The Red River College is 10 minutes away in Winkler. And we've recently got a licensed practical nursing program here in Morden. So that's a 2 year, and there's lots of supports in place to promote that. Recruitment for that. And then we just 2 weeks ago started off a network systems administrator IT diploma course hosted by the Manitoba Institute of Trades and Technology. And so that's a new post-secondary program that we're offering here. There's also things like early childhood educator and healthcare aid that are offered locally.
Sorry, I was going to say, actually, that's, you know, that kind of fits into our question about jobs and so on and so forth, because when you open space for, you know, 178 capacity daycare, and then you're expanding your school and so on and so forth, even into post-secondary, there will be jobs available, although they're, you know, regulated. You do have to have your ECE, like your early childhood educator, you know, your teaching designation, so on and so forth. But there, you know, there's prospective jobs in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's meaningful careers in a number of different sectors around here, and just tons of great employers too.
And what is the size of Morden right now, like population wise?
Yeah, we're kind of sitting between 11 and 12,000 in the community proper, and then the neighboring rural municipality has about 12,000, and then the next or closest city just 10 minutes away has about 13 or 14,000. And then there's a couple of communities of about 3,000 within a half hour. So the total catchment area within 60 kilometers population is about 60 to 70,000. And so it's kind of like the population of Brandon, but spread out over a little bit of a bigger distance. So that's where, you know, Morden itself presents a unique rural proposition. Because the population density is actually pretty strong. And so that comes because there has been lots of strong employers and economic activity down here, where people have been moving for jobs and the business has been booming. So yeah, population stats are, it would make us, if we combined everyone in our catchment area, it'd make us the second largest city.
Well, and I think that's important because it gives a lot of people options for where they want to live. You know, they're only within maybe a half hour of their work, worst case scenario. You know, there's a lot of places they could be working, not just Morden. There's, you know, Winkler, like you said, and lots of those other smaller communities nearby. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the between Winkler, Carmen, and Altona, and then even the highway corridor where there's a number of businesses set up right in the rural municipality. Like one of Morden's unique features is that almost anyone who's ever lived here long enough will have worked in one or more communities outside of Morden in addition mm-hmm. to Morden too. So that's where the job market within a drivable range is kind of second to none outside of Winnipeg.
Yeah, exactly. What would you say in terms of affordability for housing and rent and things like that? Like if someone's coming in, what are housing prices looking like in the area?
Yeah, housing prices are looking like they look around a lot of Canada. Unfortunately, we've seen dramatic increases over the last decade and 5 years. I'd say that on average, their housing prices are lower than they are in urban centers. But even when I moved out, I was really hoping for a deep rural discount on some stuff here. And no, it's across Canada. The affordability remains an issue. And you just see it with construction costs rising. It's 50% more expensive to build the same home today than it was 5 years ago. And that's just tough to do business with on the mortgage market and stuff. But there's a... The housing prices are below the average of Winnipeg selling price out here. So you can get better access or a better home for the same price in Morden. And there's a bunch of different options and different neighborhoods and stuff. And there's some vacant lots to build new and custom. And there's development happening all the time in different areas. So there's also always some inventory of older stuff on the market. And we're bringing new apartments and rental units available all the time, too. Sometimes it can be a challenge to find a rental unit in rural communities. But thankfully, our developers around here have been really putting out units year after year. And so there's always a couple of different rental options on the market as well if people are looking to rent instead of to own.
And I would even add to, you know, you don't have to buy right in Morden. You know, you could live outside in a smaller community and it would be even cheaper than Morden. You know, obviously depending on the community, you know, but if you're willing to drive a half hour maybe south, you might get more affordability or...
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. If you're willing to take a 20-minute drive, there's a number of small little townships just outside of our communities, for instance, where you're much more affordably priced and lots of options there too. There's a variety of options out here, and then just the cost of living can be a little bit less too when you're out to live in rural. Some of the services just like property taxes and stuff like that are a little bit lower out here as well compared to Winnipeg. So always a few different factors to consider.
Okay, so let's talk about the industries that you guys have in your area. And so just off the top of your head, being the economic development officer, what would you say is your top three industries that usually has positions open and so on and so forth?
You bet. Stats Canada census data helps us to know that the main employers in the area are in manufacturing and service sectors. So a lot of government offices down here and institutional offices. And so we're also a bit of a medical hub for South Central Manitoba. And so we just had $110-20 million addition to our Boundary Trails Health Center. And so that's new beds, new administrative capacity, new programming, and the significant contribution by the province to enhancing medical services in rural Manitoba more generally. So we got the lion's share of dentists and optometrists and physiotherapists, and that with that hospital expansion, that's a lot of new positions that are created as well. So one of the largest employers is Southern Health. It's a regional health authority around here in a handful of these different sectors, but then there's a number of government jobs. Both the province of Manitoba and the government of Canada have service center offices here. So that's always helpful. There's a court here as well, a courthouse rather. And so lots of legal services around here. But then the majority of people work in manufacturing. And so there's a nice range of jobs. And then third is agriculture and agriculture related products and services and value added stuff. But, you know, in terms of contribution to GDP and production and wealth creation in Manitoba, this area is really a heavy hitter, second only to Winnipeg and Metro Region in terms of output, export oriented output. And so our manufacturers are doing a great job, and they're numerous, and they're always hiring for different shifts and stuff. And so it's one of the reasons that we have been able to attract so many newcomers to Morden, is because there's always one or two manufacturing related jobs within their skill set open typically. And those can range from welding to logistics to truck driving, machine operation are some common examples. But then behind that, there's always things like HR and sales and production management and a handful of things like that too. So with these manufacturing places comes a lot of really interesting careers and opportunities for people to do more than or work, start on a production floor. And if they want to expand their career opportunities, there's lots of options and potential to do that around here. There's dozens of manufacturers that employ over 50 people and a handful that employ over 500. And so some major cabinet makers, there's major luxury, what do they call it, like RVs or these camper van things, but fancy versions of them. And so these things have been selling pretty good recently. And so they've got production facilities for that. So are ready to move home production facilities. We have a 3M production plant for medical devices here, and I think they've changed their name to Solventum, still under the 3M umbrella. But so like some of the manufacturing gets pretty technical. They make things for like heart monitoring and what's the thing where you, pacemaker. Yeah, that's it. So as a few examples, we could go on and on and make farm equipment and grain bins and a million different things around here. So, but making stuff is what we do best. And so there's always jobs available in those sectors one way or the other.
So I have a question just to touch on that. So, you know, a lot of manufacturing, there's usually a lot of sort of more entry level jobs, right? Which work out if you're a newcomer, maybe you have lower level English. How is that, or how are you, maybe, I know Regional Connections is sort of the main group that works with newcomers in your area. Are you finding, are employers maybe taking on extra things to support their newcomer workforce, or is it more so through Regional Connections if someone needed to get English or things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Leah. I think it's done a little bit differently in every community and with every employer. Regional Connections is an exceptional partner to work with around here. They really know their clients' needs are a major employer themselves. So they've been doing such good business and have gotten great support from the government that they offer a lot of programs like employable skill set training and especially the English language training. So they are our first choice to recommend folks who are new to town, new to the country, to go check out their services and learn how they can be of assistance. Employers often work directly with them to coordinate and even offer custom English language skills if there's a technical knowledge and language that's needed in the workplace. But a lot of our employers around here, you know, they're not all corporately owned, and there's the majority, I would say, are kind of family owned businesses. And I think probably one of the best examples, I'll give two examples quickly. One's Decor Cabinets, one of our largest employers in town here. And one with a real international presence philanthropically, as well as a shop floor presence. So they work with an international development and fundraise for causes overseas. And so they're got a real global-minded business approach. And their workforce is quite diverse as well. And so they support community events and sponsor different newcomer groups to do things in the community, as well as support different things like English language in the workforce and additional training to support skills acquisition while you're on staff with them. So to start in one position and then work your way up into the career of your dreams is something that's quite possible with some of these employers that really invest in their staff and recognize the value of they wouldn't have been able to grow to the extent that they have without the skilled worker immigration program. And so they really appreciate their potential to do what they do and recognize where that opportunity comes from, and it's through some of these immigration programs. Another good example is Friesen's. They're not a Morden employer, but they're out of Altona. Mm-hmm. And they're one of the biggest employers, period, in southern Manitoba. They're a major commercial printing operation. And we're one of the first private industries to really take the immigration opportunity seriously and invest in it. And so I think they invested in their own transition departments. Early on in the game, they were doing airport pickups and really making connections overseas to cultivate a workforce that would be sustainable and durable in their print shop, because they couldn't expand. And Altona is a city of town of about 3,000 people. And so much less opportunity to garner a large workforce there. And so they really pioneered a lot of this stuff too at Friesen's, and with English language and employable skills training while on the job. So I think you'll find that it's a bit of a team effort around here. Our office also helps with some coordination and context. We have some professional staff who can help guide people in the right way to make sure that they're making the connections that they need to succeed.
Well, and I think too, all those things that you talked about with decor cabinets and Friesen's, that's very much what happens in a lot of rural places, you know, and I think that's another advantage for moving rural. You often will get a lot more supports through the workplace than you would in the city. So I think that that's for great. People, that's something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Leah, is that you're kind of left to your own devices if you're in Winnipeg, Regina, Calgary, or something like that. But in rural places, our businesses cannot grow if we cannot support them with expanded workforce. We just don't have the population out here to do it. And sometimes you need 50 workers within a couple of months for some of the, if you get the right contract or the right job or something. In Winnipeg, it's different. You can do that a little bit more easily. But out here, the employers appreciate the opportunity to grow so much because they haven't had it before. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years and slowly ramping up our capacity to support newcomer settlements in the area. And employers have taken a little while to catch on, and you really need to see it to believe it sometimes in the private sector, right? But the volunteerism, the welcoming spirit that exists out here, it's really incredible. We have a really diverse newcomer community here as well, from every continent and on the planet pretty much, and good groups within there, to the point where they're really supporting each other when a new group like from Bangladesh or Brazil or something like that, or Nigeria comes in. There's just a group of volunteers that are just pleased as punch to go and meet them at the airport and welcome them and give them a ride home and even set them up in their house if they need a couple of weeks to transition to a new place. Mm-hmm. So we see the community really stepping up to support and welcome folks as well as businesses, because there's a level of appreciation out here, I think, that maybe not the larger urban centers wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. That's actually what I was going to, that was going to be my next question, but you kind of answered that in terms of, we've heard you have a diverse newcomer community. And so when I'm in my practice, a lot of people will ask me about a community and they'll say, how welcoming are they in terms of newcomers coming to their community? But you've kind of answered that in terms of saying, you know, you have multiple different cultures in your community already. So taking that just a step further, where does your community see the future of immigration? Because as you said, you've done a great job with that. You were the pioneers of immigration in rural Manitoba. So what do you think your next steps are in terms of immigration and how that's going to look in the future?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, the federal government has changed some of their approaches to things recently, and that filters down through the province's provincial nominee programs in various ways. And so we're looking to the province and the feds to provide some further guidance on where they would like to see some focus. But one of the beautiful things about the arrangement that we have with them with the province and the MPMP program is that the reason that we have an agreement with them is to be flexible and responsive to local employers' needs. And so we're learning every day what our employers need to be successful and how we can support them on that with a skilled workforce and the right kinds of skill sets. And we adapt our intakes year by year, depending on where demand is in the industry. It can be welders one year, machine operators the next year, a handful of different other specialties like that. Right now, we're focused on medical workers and some folks with any medical experience, in particular nurses and doctors and healthcare aides. I encourage you to check out our website. We're still receiving applications with folks that have some experience and education in those. And next year will be a little bit different too. You know, it's a moving target as the economy grows and shifts and ebbs and flows and stuff. The one manufacturing center will ramp up, hire 20 people all of a sudden, and then they'll be good for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, 3M, the international mega brand, does a rebranding on their medical devices. And now we have Solventum that's doing tens of millions of dollars in renovations to accommodate a new production line. And it's all of a sudden all the trades are doing some of the most sophisticated HVAC systems and electrical systems in southern Manitoba to support some advanced production. And now they need things like engineers, they're just getting ready to go here themselves, but they're still hiring right now. I'd encourage you to check out their website for some of the good paying jobs that they got and more professional jobs that we don't see come up every single day. You don't see a number of engineering jobs all of a sudden on the market at a given time in a rural community. And so we're happy to see that kind of stuff come through as well, because it means that we get to continue to build that diversity that we take pride in, because it really is incredible to see the change over 15 years that we have people from every corner of the globe here, and enough of them that they from each corner that they have really support their fellow countrymen coming over and making sure that it's a nice soft landing when they arrive and that there's a big group to support them on the other side of things. So yeah, we are interested in the many different shifting faces of immigration, you know, with medical workers right now. But one of the things that I think is an unsung and less often talked about immigration option or stream is the business stream of immigration. There's a lot of unique ways and opportunities to come in through that. And we have that stream that we talk with people through when they have maybe some access to capital that they could invest to at the other end of it in an entrepreneurial spirit or a business idea that they've been toying around. Because of the large population base, there's a lot of ways to make a living out here, and being a self-employed and owning your own business is one of my favorite ways to support that immigration journey, because it has led to some really unique businesses in the area. And then sky's the limit, really, with what you can offer in terms of services and products. So I'd be curious if you guys have seen some of that work out in folks' favor across the prairies as well.
I think for business immigration, we see it a lot in rural Manitoba and northern, or just rural, I shouldn't say northern, but rural areas is more through the farm, like the farming pathway. We see a lot of that. And and smaller businesses too, such as, you know, your gas stations and your restaurants and so on and so forth. But I was going to ask, if somebody is listening to this right now and they're interested and have an idea for a business and is looking at rural Manitoba, would they contact you directly, or is there someone else that we can put in our show notes that we would say, okay, so if you're interested in pitching a business idea through an immigration pathway, who's the best contact for them?
Thanks for the opportunity to direct folks to our website. MordanImmigration.ca is a great place to learn more about the different streams, whether it's the skilled worker pathway or business immigration pathway. All the eligibility requirements are on there, as well as our National Occupation Code priority list, which changes all the time. So if you don't see your code on there, just check back. We update them 3 to 6 months kind of thing based on our input from employers. And then the business stream is there's an intake or an expression of interest right on the website there. So once you've gone through the eligibility requirements and you think you might be close, even if you're within the ballpark, reach out to us and we'll start a conversation. And there's a lot of interesting ways to facilitate immigration and land with a great business and a path to permanent residency beyond that. So morganimmigration.com or .ca, and then there's an expression of interest for both skilled worker and business streams then, and we'll get a chance to review it after that.
For people who maybe aren't looking to immigrate, maybe they have their PR already, or maybe they're just a Canadian citizen but wanting to move rural, you know, how would they go about, like, how receptive are employers for them, people just reaching out? You know, are they, you know, because a lot of times people move rural, they stay for a year and leave. Like, is there hesitancy there sometimes, or, you know, when people are coming from these larger cities that they're where they're going to leave, or, you know, what does that look like? Have you heard stories or?
Absolutely. Retention of our newcomer population has been the priority of our office. You know, it's one thing to encourage people to come to your community. It's another thing for them to stay. You know, like every community is the best community according to the people who are living there, right? And so it's easy for that to be shared and that to be the sales pitch. Yeah, come to live in, you name it, right? And it's the best place ever. There's always going to be some reason or another to do it. And then the proof is really in the pudding with that one, though. People can come there. Are they going to stay there for more than 20 seconds is the key to success, right? And so are there jobs? Is there high quality of life? Are there the services that they're expecting and entertainment for the family and sports and the rest of it, you know? So we're really proud of our retention rates, which are in the 80 to 90th percentile. Wow. Which is the highest rates on record that we're aware of. That's no accident. We do our best to welcome and support the folks that come to our community, and to do so through having our own transition apartment sets as well, so that people have a place to stay when they first arrive until they can get their feet on the ground. Don't have to stay in hotels or something. And so we manage a transition apartment set, support volunteers for airport pickups and make that happen when volunteers aren't available. We have a number of community support programs support a monthly welcome night for folks who've arrived. It's to make introductions and enhance their networks and to make sure that they feel welcome and can make some friends upon arrival too. So once a month we host a little get together, call it welcome night, and everyone who has landed in the last month or two comes and gets to meet other newcomers or other community members who are really enthusiastic about just immigration generally and love the cultural and exposure and the novelty of it. You know, it is something that I've found that our residents, lifetime residents have really picked up on as well. And there's an enthusiasm among the local population to be encouraging and welcoming and to learn more about the cultures that they may not have ever had a chance to meet themselves. And so that's where Morgan's a unique. They've really embraced the diversity that's arisen in the last 15 years. And that shows in the sustainable and durable settlements that we see coming from our program. So the retention is quite high, and for good reason.
And so would you also add volunteerism is a key component? Because when I talk to people, be it if they're from a city, you know, within Canada and they grew up, or even when they come overseas, is that rural communities are built on volunteerism. And I oftentimes tell them that it's, you know, to get a job sometimes and to move up that ladder, it's who you know. And to get to know people, you go and volunteer for a certain organization. So do you guys have a strong volunteerism base in your community?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, getting involved is one of the most rewarding experiences that I have had in the development realm, and whether that's volunteering or finding the right organization or nonprofit to work for. There's a million opportunities, and year by year we see more newcomers participate in them and making a difference in the community as well. And so especially things like Corn Apple Festival, I think, is a good example. You know, once a year we have the Manitoba's biggest street fair take over our downtown, and it's tons of fun. There's countless free events and activities and stuff, but it takes something like 500 volunteers to pull it off. And so there's so many opportunities for people to engage around here and contribute to making the community a better place that it's really apparent at the third weekend of August every year during Corn Apple when you see these folks on the streets. And so if you're walking around attending the festival or if you're up on the Ferris wheel or something like that, like the volunteers all have their shirts on and you just see this army of people making the events happen and getting stuff done. And so it's great to see the town come together and great to see newcomers join that real feel good event. And then beyond that, there's even things like, you know, these little community, I won't call it development organizations, but kind of like just nonprofits like the Elks and the Lions and a few of these men's and women's clubs that really did a lot of work in the 60s, 70s, 80s, building new parks, play structures. And now we're seeing even a revival in some of these organizations with newcomers finding an opportunity and a need, really, where there was maybe a lot of folks who were in their 60s and 70s that were really taking the lead on these organizations, and now they're kind of retiring and putting down their volunteering mantle. And we've really seen a lot of newcomers pick up that torch and breathe new life into some of these organizations. And so I'd certainly encourage any of the newcomers listening to you guys right now in your audience, if that's something that ever occurred to them, but in the past, it's really making the Morden a better place. And there's a really valuable opportunity to make the connections that make the community feel closer, as well as provide the meaningful opportunities within the workplace as well. It's not what you know, it's who you know sometimes in a small town. And so getting out there, making friends and doing good work is a great way to make that happen. So thanks for bringing that up.
I think as someone who works in the realm of workforce development and language, that's the number one thing you should be doing as a newcomer is getting involved and volunteering. Because it's like you said, you get the connections, you meet people, you work on your language, and you understand Canadian culture and Canadian workplace culture through that as well. And those are big pieces to success in Canada.
That's right, Leo.
I think we're almost coming to the end here. Lindsay, did you have any more questions? Would you say, I have one more, but you go ahead.
I think this is a question that Lee and I like to ask, and you kind of addressed it, but what do you think is the biggest misconception or misconceptions about living in rural Manitoba?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And I guess there's a handful of them. Mostly it's just like, am I going to be in the middle of nowhere? Right. And is there going to be anyone to connect with? And is the community going to be an opening, welcoming kind of community, or is there going to be some hesitation to the presence of a newcomer who may be a more visible minority in a rural location than they would otherwise be in a more ethnically diverse urban space? And I think that that does change community to community, and I think that there's a reason that that's a concern that we address that question a lot. And I think that it's a risk for certain communities for sure, is things like isolation, things like cultural isolation or linguistic isolation, or no one speaks the language that you want to speak or something like that. In Morden, I wouldn't say that's the case. There is the diversity that exists here already from 15 years of working with this program and having just a naturally welcoming community. I mean, it's tough to really emphasize that enough, is that it's walk down the street, doesn't matter if you know the person or not, they'll make eye contact, wave, say hi, and start a conversation out of the blue. Like, it's not for everybody, but it's a neat part of what I like about this town is this the friendliness, general friendliness of it. So I think that surprises a lot of people when they arrive, just how darn friendly us country folk can be. And yeah. So that's a pleasant surprise for a lot of folks. And then I think another one is really knowing some of the, like, transportation, I think, is a big shocker for some folks. They assume that there's trains or transit or buses and stuff like that. But we remain challenged here in Morden by a lack of transit options. It's a real difficult thing to provide when everything's spaced so far apart and you don't have the population base of Brandon or Winnipeg. But it's something that we're working on, but something that does shock some people when they arrive is that I can't take a bus. I've got to get a car right away, and then getting a driver's license and some of those additional things, right? So there's a few surprises. We do our best to prepare folks when they arrive, and we do know what typical questions come up, but you can't anticipate them all. Just to encourage everyone to do their background research, knowing what's how you're going to start your day and end your day, and every step along the way there, because there can be some challenges. Thankfully, you can walk anywhere in the community in about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a cold walk in the winter, but you come prepared and it's no problem to get where you need to go. So hopefully that's a barrier that we'll address as the time goes on here. But yeah, just knowing what you're getting yourself into in terms of getting from point A to point B sometimes is sometimes overlooked or taken for granted.
Well, and I think really in Canada, you just do have to get a license. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, unless you're going to never leave a city, I mean, you do need a license if you want to go outside even of the city, right? So I think that's just something, and we're so spaced out, it's just an important thing to have.
Agreed.
So we've got one more question, because we always like to highlight something sort of, you know, new and different. So is there any, I don't know, activity or restaurant or thing you sort of like that you enjoy doing in the Morden area that someone should check out if they were coming to sort of maybe explore your community, see if it's somewhere they wanted to live?
Absolutely. You know, there's a number of distinguishing features and restaurants and businesses around here, but and I'm a little bit biased on this, but our golf course is spectacular. Okay. You know, it's beautiful. It's in this little valley with ancient oak trees and a beautiful view, and it's a challenging, beautiful course. And we're just in the middle of a major clubhouse renovation, and we'll have one of the nicest clubhouses and restaurants at the other end of that. We hope that's going to be open by next season. And Santa Lucia's Pizza is opening a full restaurant in there. One of my favorite pizza joints from Winnipeg. And so that's something that we're really looking forward to seeing come to fruition as the Minnewasta Golf and Country Club. So it's, I know golf's not the most popular sport internationally necessarily, but once you try it out, you'll want to get a membership. I guarantee it. At least you'll be back for the pizza. So
to try it. Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. That's awesome. To share.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Well, thank you, Jay, so much for coming on. Everyone, if you're listening, we're going to have all this information in the show notes. If you want to check it out, you know, look a bit more, see if this is a place that would be a great place to move to, we will have all that information. So thank you once again, Jay, for coming. We appreciate it.
My pleasure talking to you guys. All the best with the podcast.
Thank you, Jay. So until next time, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.